It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Good to have you with us on this Friday. And in Washington, D.C. right now, it's all about the memo. Betsy Woodruff of The Daily Beast will be here in a few minutes with the latest to explain the extraordinary war between the White House and the FBI and what this could mean for an investigation that President Trump wants to go away. But first, to immigration and a policy change that could affect hundreds of thousands of people hoping to gain asylum in the United States. On Wednesday, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services announced that instead of looking at asylum applications in the order they were filed, they're implementing a last-in, first-out approach. That means prioritizing more recent applications while people who've been waiting for years in some cases continue to wait. And the backlog is huge, more than 310,000 people seeking asylum waiting to have their cases heard by U.S. immigration officials. So what's behind the policy change, and what does it mean for people who've been waiting in line for years? Dara Lind is senior reporter covering immigration for Vox. Dara, welcome back.
Good to be on.
Well, Dara, what exactly is the new policy on asylum seekers here? How does it work?
This policy applies to what are called affirmative asylum cases, which is people who proactively seek asylum rather than being arrested and put in deportation proceedings and they're saying, well, I've been persecuted, I need to be able to stay here. So instead of the situation that we've had for the last 4 years or so, 3.5 years, where the cases were processed basically in the order they were received. So the oldest cases were processed first, with some exceptions. It's now kind of the way it's been traditionally, which is this last in, first out. If you're application has been received in the last 3 weeks, you'll be the first person scheduled for an interview rather than having to wait the same amount that whoever, you know, is currently in the front of the line had to wait to get there.
So how does that help get rid of the backlog? Because the other 300,000 people who've been waiting are still waiting. What does it accomplish?
The Trump administration is worried that people are fraudulently claiming asylum in large numbers. They're convinced that many of the people who are claiming that they're persecuted aren't really persecuted or don't qualify for asylum under American law. And so their concern is, how do we get them back to their countries as quickly as possible rather than allowing them to stay in the U.S. before their asylum case is ultimately denied? For that reason, they don't want to create a situation in which someone who comes to the U.S. and has a pending asylum case gets to work legally while their asylum case is pending, because you can get a work permit while waiting for that to go through. They'd rather allow the people who are currently waiting for their asylum cases to get approved or denied to be able to continue to work, but not allow new people coming in to get those same privileges.
And in terms of the evaluation of who can qualify for asylum status, is that changing?
It is not officially changing. The United States doesn't have a ton of room here within international law standards of what countries have to do in accepting people who say they're fleeing persecution. What there has been is a kind of tacit or, you know, sometimes rhetorical expectation from Trump and from Attorney General Jeff Sessions in particular that asylum cases are being processed too leniently, especially at that initial credible fear stage. They're not being scrutinized enough. And they're using the fact that many credible fear applications do get approved as evidence that people must not be strict enough about it. So it hasn't yet materialized into any explicit memos or changes in standards, and it's not clear how much effect it's having on the ground. But there is kind of this expectation for people who are on all stages of the process that they should be a lot more, I wouldn't say careful, but a lot stricter in deciding who should be allowed to claim persecution and be allowed to stay in the United States.
Still, you mentioned, Dara, that the Trump administration is essentially returning to a pre-2014 policy here. How did it work back then? Is there a track record?
The underlying capacity problem here appears to be that U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, unlike other immigration agencies, is largely fee-funded. Its money comes from applications from immigrants who, you know, have to pay processing fees. So when something happens, like a backlog in asylum applications, Congress doesn't just appropriate a bunch more money for USCIS to hire a bunch more people. It could, but it doesn't. The reason that it changed was that the Obama administration had to deal with this increasing backlog at the same time that there was this wave of children and families coming from Central America and mostly claiming persecution when they arrived in the U.S. And for children who come to the U.S. without adults in particular, they have certain rights that adults don't have after getting apprehended. And one of those is that they get to talk to an asylum officer first. They don't have to go through a judge first. So that put another strain on the system. The Obama administration tried to deal with that by saying that children should get preference and everybody else should be processed in the order they were received so that they weren't exacerbating the wait for people who had already been waiting. That's why it changed. It definitely didn't have much of an effect in stemming the backlog. The backlog has gotten substantially worse since 2014, but it wasn't really designed to do that. It was designed to process these kids' cases as quickly as possible. And now the Trump administration has decided that the real problem here is adults who are able to work in the U.S. legally while asylum cases are pending.
So then what's likely to happen here with all those adults, 300,000 or so of them living in the United States, ostensibly working in the United States? Do they have redress? Will they launch lawsuits or will they simply say, well, I guess I can stay and work and at least be safe? And once the government gets around to hearing my case, they'll do it.
Well, the problem here, and this is something that human rights groups are very concerned about, is that while you can work legally in the U.S. while your asylum case is pending, you can't bring your family members over until you have, you know, full asylee status. So people who came to the U.S. fleeing persecution, but whose wives or children are still stuck in their home countries or still in vulnerable situations, are at substantial risk here. And that's in addition to kind of the usual stress that being separated from one's family for a long period of time would put on someone, especially someone who's gone through trauma. So the concern here is, you know, less about the kind of amount of time they're waiting and more that going through that waiting process really does put substantial strain on people, especially if it's happening at the same time that more claims are going to get denied at the end of the process. If you're waiting, you know, several years to hear if your asylum case is going to get approved and then it ultimately isn't, that seems like a massive disruption to somebody's life that the government isn't considering as its primary motivation in making this change, to be sure.
Dara Lind, senior reporter with Vox. Dara, thanks again.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.